Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew this morning, please. Matthew chapter 6 this morning. We're going to read verses 25 through 33 this morning in Matthew chapter 6. I'll read aloud as you read silently. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 33. As you're finding your place, please stand to your feet this morning in honor of the Word of God. As we read the Word of God together this morning, Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for such a passage. It's encouraging, yet convicting. God, bless our hearts to the preaching of thy word today, to have that we can get what you have for us today. God, help us today. I pray that you'd help our pastor as he comes and preaches from this passage today. God, use him, empower him, help him. And Father, if there's one sitting in the auditorium today that does not know for sure they're going to heaven when they die, I pray today they'd settle that and be saved from their sins so they can go to heaven when they die. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, how many of you own a cell phone? Would you raise your hand, please? Now then, if it goes off during the service and we hear it, it will burst into flame and scorch everything within 5 feet circumference of its location. So make sure it's turned off or to vibrate. And if you had a neighbor that raised their hand, I'd check and make sure they had their cell phone on, off, or to vibrate so it won't go off during the service, please, this morning. Now I'm going to ask you to sit real still and listen carefully, please. Last week we talked to you about your time. Today I want to talk to you about your life. So, Pastor Johnson, I think I have a pretty good life. I hope you do this morning. I do. Ladies and gentlemen, life is too brief to waste one day. That's why we talked to you about your time last week. It's too important. Time is too valuable. Your life, your time comprises your life, and your life takes up your time. But question this morning, I want you to look in your Bibles now in Matthew chapter 6. The wording of the Word of God is always very important. That's why you need an every word Bible, not a close to Bible. You need an every word Bible. Because look at this. In Matthew 6:25, here's Jesus saying this. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on it. Now look at this statement. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? The life. He says, he wasn't saying you shouldn't be concerned about what you eat and getting something to eat or something to wear. He wasn't saying that part. He's saying, be all concerned about that. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. The average person will spend more time concerned about their wardrobe than about their life. We'll be more concerned and consumed in our lives by our menu, our schedule of eating, than whether or not we have a life. But Jesus didn't talk about a life. When he said that a statement there, he said, is not the life. That's specific. Is not the life more than the life? He says, you get concerned about your life. I want to talk to you about the life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's a question in the Bible we need to answer this morning. It's in the book of James. I won't have you turn there if you'll trust me to quote it to you. James chapter 4 and verse number 14. The question is this. For what is your life? Did you sit down and think about it much? What is your life? Answer the question to yourself this morning. It's not something you can say yes, no, good, bad, or indifferent in a few statements. It's a question that bears some examination. Well, the rest of James 4:14 says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. In other words, life is brief. It's fleeting. It comes and it goes. Now, anybody under the age of probably 25 or 30 this morning that's in this room thinks, no problem, I got all my life ahead of me. Those of us who've gotten to a certain stage, notice how I use that. A certain stage. I didn't say age, I said stage. A certain stage in life where you look at it and all of a sudden you realize you've got more of your life behind you than you do ahead of you. If you live 70 or 80, if by chance 80, that means 70 or 80 years of age. We don't know how long we live, but we know this. This life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and like a wisp of smoke, just like that. The question, what is your life, is the question we need to answer this morning. But more importantly, the life Jesus is talking about in verse number 25. We need to find that one because, see, the giver of life is the one who's talking here. Ladies and gentlemen, you look at me. We've got folks all over the place telling us to go get a life. Why don't you get a life? They don't even know where to go look. They have no idea what they're talking about. It's just an expression to people. But in reality, God wants you to get a life. More than that, He wants you to get the life, the one He has for you. We're going to talk to you. And by the way, I'm going to give you two simple ingredients to finding the life God has for every person. So it's more complicated than that, Pastor John. Oh, no, it's not. See, that's the majesty and the wonder of the Word of God. God answers complex situations complex matters in our life very simply. And sometimes people look at the Bible and they go, well, yeah, well, that's the Bible, but come on, I live in 2010 and I've got all this stuff and it can't be that simple, but it is. From this passage that we read this morning, Brother Evans read to you this morning, from verse 25 to verse number 33, he shows you two ingredients to finding the life. Because the life, hey, look at me, the life is more than what you wear. The life is more than where you work. The life is more than how much money you got in your pocket. The life is more than where we're going to go eat lunch today. The life is more than what kind of house you have and what kind of financial package you possess. The life is more than the stuff of life. The life is more than that. The life God has given us. The life that God wants to give us. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said this. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's a superabundance kind of living. Where it's every day every day's a good day, every day's sunshine, every day's happiness, every day you get what you want, No. This is not a blab it and grab it church, okay? You know, I'm talking about prosperity stuff where you say X, Y, Z and God gives you everything you ever wanted. That's ridiculous. And the sad thing is there are people who believe that. They listen to these prosperity reverends, you know, on television, most of them. And the whole idea is God always wants you to get everything you want in life. Well, you better hope God doesn't give you everything He wants to give you in life. That's not the point this morning. I didn't say it'll always be sunshine and happiness, but it'll be an abundant life. That's the life Jesus is talking about here. And keeping your scriptures open, I want you to understand this morning that you get one life. The Bible says in Hebrews 9 and 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. There is no reincarnation. You don't get another chance at this life. You get one shot at it. That's it. We live, we die, and that's the life we have. You get one chance at life. Since you only get one chance, not if, since. There is no reincarnation, people. It's a doctrine of philosophy born out of heathenism that is another way of teaching people that you don't have to lose. You can just do what you want, and you keep coming back and trying again and coming back and trying again. The concept of reincarnation is you have another life after this one to come back and correct the mistakes you made in this life so you can fix it in the next life, and you just keep coming back until you fix it. Question. Is society getting better or worse? Condition of society as far as people's conduct and behavior, better or worse? Okay, reality then is if reincarnation is true and we got all these people having time and time, new life after new life after new life coming back knowing what they knew in the other life, then somewhere down, I mean, we'd be in a utopia by now, wouldn't you agree? Wouldn't we be in a perfect society? Right? Everybody self-governed and no Washington, D.C. But anyway, the truth is, we'd have fixed it by now, wouldn't we? Come on, you had 10 lifetimes, couldn't you fix it by now? See, even just logically, there's no reincarnation. But biblically, it's good enough for me. He says you die one time and you face God. That's the way it is. Now listen. Now, since we have one life, we need to be sure we get the life that Jesus is talking about in Matthew 6:25. And as I said a moment ago, there's two key ingredients to it. Very simple. Number one ingredient is this. To get the life Jesus said you must have. The first ingredient and the most essential ingredient of all is you need the right person to have the right life. Oh, you mean marry the right person? Well, that could be important, and it is important. But no. Matthew 6:25 to 33, over and over again, Jesus talks about God, your heavenly Father, all the things that He does for you. All this, the right person for the right life is that God is the right person in your life. Now, let's clear this up this morning. I'm not talking about God as you understand Him. I'm not talking about God as you have made Him. I'm not talking about God as you ignore Him. I'm not talking about the God you created. I'm talking about the God who created you. See, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. All you have to do is go to Genesis chapter 2, where God made mankind, formed him from the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils, the Bible says, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Prior to that, we were dirt. That's all we are. And if we came from the oceans and evolved, then when we died, we turned to water, not dirt. We turned to dirt. I mean, that's just logical, but all right. But here's the point. The truth is, He formed us from the dust of the earth, but we were just dirt. Even with a body that man lay there in the Garden of Eden, man's body to lie there, He had fashioned a human body, but that was not alive until God breathed into that pile of dirt the breath of life, the Bible says. And then that pile of dirt with the breath of God in that pile of dirt became a living soul. Now that's how it was in the start of it all. That's where it all began. Life started with God. It started with Him. He's the creator of life. He's the giver of life. He's the sustainer of life. He's the one who helps us in our life. He is our life. If that's the way it is, you got the life Jesus is talking to you about. See, look in Matthew 6. Look how much He talks about how important God is in all this picture. Behold the fowls of the air, verse 26. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. I like this last statement. Are you not much better than they? No, we're not equal to the animals. Huh? We're not equal to the animals, people. All you tree-hugging dirt worshipers, figure it out. We're not equal to the animals. We are greater than the animals. God made us separate of them. We're not an evolved life form that came up through the animal ranks. We are created in the image of God. We were dirt till God gave us life, but God gave us life. And the Bible says your heavenly Father knows you're more important than them. Then He talks about the grass and the fields, etc., and on down to the verses. You're more important than the plants. You're more important than the animals if He's your Father, if He's your God. You see, the point is this, ladies and gentlemen. Is not the life more than all this stuff? Well, of course it is. If God's the right person in your life. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse number 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. To know Him, you have to know Christ. not believe in Him. You must know Christ as your Savior. You must believe Jesus is the way to the Father, that Jesus is the life, that Jesus is the truth, that He is everything that we need to know, and that God sent His Son Christ to die for us. We must trust Christ's payment alone for salvation. Never mind the Jesus people have constructed today. The Jesus of the Bible is the one who's the way to the Father. You don't get to the Father except through Jesus, and Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. See, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. So the life that God has promised us, the life that God has designed for us, it comes from having the right person, and that person is God. And you know God through Christ. Do you this morning? Your understanding about God, your salvation, your forgiveness, your standing with God, is it because you have accepted Jesus' payment on the cross for your salvation and nothing else? No baptism, no church membership, no works of man, no works of religion, just Christ. You've trusted Christ to save you. And in trusting Him for salvation, did you ask Him to do so? Then Jesus is your way, and He is your truth, and He is your life. And now you know the Father, and now you can have the life He has promised you. You say, but Pastor Johnson, I did that. Listen to me. I did that. I trusted Christ as my Savior. But I'm almost certain the life I'm living is not the life He intended. Well, my friend, then here's what happens. The God who saved you, the God of your life, you've replaced with someone or something else. The book of Jude makes a very simple statement at the end of that book. It says, my children, my little children, keep yourselves from idols. It's fascinating how that we can so easily, simply transfer our love and devotion from the one who gave us life to someone or something else, isn't it? And guess what happens when you do that? You'll find some kind of life, but it won't be the life that He intended for you. So a saved person can miss the life God has for them because God's still not first place. He's still not what He should be in your life. Oh, I trusted Him for your eternal life, but He's not the life for you anymore. All of our decisions now, all the things that we decide in our life is not about what will please God, it's about what will please me. What would please what other people think about me? And we still miss the life that He has intended for us. This thing about what God has for us and what God has wants from us, this is very important. We accept eternal life from God, but we won't let Him be Lord of this temporal life. Look what they did in Matthew 6, Jesus said. Is it wrong for a person to be concerned about eating something? No. Is it wrong for them to be concerned about having enough clothing? No. Is it wrong to be concerned about how this life goes? No. But He said, this, your life is not where you need to consume all your thoughts. Your thoughts need to be on the life God has for you. To do that, then what He thinks must be important to you. Puts a priority, as we'll talk about in a moment. You put in order your life. He becomes your life. What's taking place of God in your life? What's gotten in the way there? Whereby the one who gave you eternal life is no longer your life now. Something else is. Someone else is. Well, you have to understand, Pastor, and I hear people say it all the time. In this economy today, you've just got to, you've got to do what you have to do to take care of what you have to take care of. And you have to be wise. You have to be careful. You have to be smart. But you have to please God first. And without that, look at me, without that, you're not going to get the life He intended. You're going to get caught up in the grinder of life, where all we're doing is, man, I'm just living. I'm surviving. Jesus didn't say, I've come to give you living. He said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Now look, friend, that means the right person must be in place to have the life God intended for you. If you've accepted eternal life from Jesus Christ, is He still your life though? Has it become your life, this business of living? Or is it you have the life God has given you? Well, you just don't understand, Pastor Johnson, the struggles that go on in people's lives. No, I don't. I know. I live in a cocoon. I sleep back here in the baptistry. Ravens come every morning and bring me bread and flesh, and every night they bring me bread and flesh. I smite a rock and water comes out of it. Hard to find one on this property. I walk on water, glow in the dark, and I don't have a worry in my life because that's the way it is for me. But I'm just telling you how tough it is for you no matter. You just do what you're told. You got to be kidding me. Ladies and gentlemen, we were all said and done. One day I was in the grocery store, and it was my day off. And on my day off, I relax. I don't shave. Sometimes I don't bathe. That's right. Friday's my day off. Stay away from me on Friday. And I was in the grocery store one day. I had a ripped up pair of britches on, an old Hawaiian shirt with a bunch of holes in it. Hadn't combed my hair. Just went to the store to get something right quick. Now, you know what happens. You see somebody you know. In fact, I stood next to some of you in line at the store on Friday, and you thought I was a homeless guy. That was me. And unfortunately, it turned out to be a teenager. And she's like three register lines over from me. She sees me, and she goes, "Pastor Johnson! You didn't comb your hair today. Where did you get that shirt?" And I'm standing there with my, you know, can of beanie weenies in my hand saying, "Shut up, kid. Shut up, kid." And she went out the store. This door slid open. "I'll see you, Pastor, Sunday." "See you, kid." Yeah. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, the things of life don't always make sense to us. And sometimes they don't go the way we want them to go. But you listen to me. Hey, do you have the life? Not a life. Well, we can find one out there. People chasing all kinds of foolishness. And chasing a lot of times, people are chasing things that matter. But they're not going to last as long as the life God had given them. Is he? Seriously, is God the person of your life? Or someone or something else taking his place? The second ingredient to the life is very simple. Matthew 6:33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." First, second, priorities. You've got to have the right priorities to get the life. Hey, the right priorities. But wait a minute. Look at that verse, Matthew 6:33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And look at the last statement. "And all these things shall be added unto you." What are the things he's talking about? By the way, that's God doing that. That's God's mathematics. God will add these things to your life. Your priorities are right. God puts the things in there. No, don't get just hung up on the material things now, because all the things are the things listed from verse 25 to 33. Something to eat, something to wear, and the life. It's all in that. It's all in the context. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't go find the life God has for you. People waste their entire lives looking for a life that matters, that counts, that means something to them or to someone else, and all that kind of stuff. No, you don't look for the life God has for you. God puts it aside to add there in the Bible when it says these things I add unto you. It means to put them alongside. God says, "Okay, you got your priorities right. I'll throw in the life too." It's fascinating. The most important things to people's lives today, in people's lives today, happiness, joy, peace of mind. God says, "I'll throw that in on the side if you get your priorities right. Seek first." That's a priority statement. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, "Now I'll put all that other stuff in there." I didn't set out to try and find the life God has for me. That's a byproduct of living with God as first person and priorities right in my life. That's how God gives you the life. Now you look at me, friend. Till you get that straight in your mind, you quit doing it your way instead of God's way. You straighten that thing out, then God will put the life in there on the side. He'll just put it along the way. Whoop, just chuck it out there. Stop looking for the essential things of life. So I'm not supposed to be concerned about paying the bills and feeding my family. I didn't say that. I said that's not your life. That's your life if that's how you want to live it. The life God has for you is totally different than that. Hey, truth of the matter is this morning, friend, the essential things of life God will put there, he'll put them there if your priorities are right. It's when we were in India, driving in the southern part of India down a highway. And the highway there is just a wide piece of dirt with a little bit of asphalt on it and huge potholes. And the people's crops growing along the side of the highway, rice and corn and things. When they harvest their crops, with the exception of the corn, when they harvest their rice and grains, instead of threshing them by hand, they throw them out on the highway and let the cars run them over. And then they run out in between the vehicles and scoop up the grain. Think about that next time you buy rice from India. But anyway, the truth is, we're driving down the road one day, and I saw all this grain piled up in the middle of the road. Now, not high enough to cause a problem with the car, but as far as you could see, there was be a lump, 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 and we just, everybody's running over, trucks, you know, ox-driven carts, and people standing along the side of the road. As soon as a truck would pass by, they'd run out there with their little rakes, and they'd rake it up and scoop it up real fast and run off the side of the road while another truck went zooming by. It just went on for hours as we were driving. One day as we were driving down this road in India, I saw a lady all by herself. She had a little banana leaf in her hand. And she watched. And the grain that was in that part of the road had been run over many times, and all that had been harvested could be harvested, as people would think. And I watched this lady get out there on her hands and her knees and pick up a grain of rice here and there and put it on that banana leaf. And she was trying to find enough handful of rice to eat that day and to live on. That was almost 3 years ago. I guarantee you this morning along a highway somewhere in India, there is a lady trying to find a handful of grain to make a meal to live on for one day. See, boy, that's a tough life, Pastor Johnson. You think it's any different today for you and I? Oh, we go home and we've got food in the cabinet and we've got a roof over our head and clothes we chose to wear today. But the truth is our life really any different when you get right down to the basic ingredient of it all? If God is not first place and the priorities are right, you're still looking for something, and you'll keep looking every day until it's over because you're looking at your life instead of the life God has for you, and He puts it on the side when your priorities are right. What are the priorities? Quickly, seek ye first the kingdom of God. In the Bible, that's an expression that simply means God's will. The life He has for you is in the will of God. He's designed for your life and mine. There are some things about the will of God that apply to everybody. There's some things about the will of God that apply just to you. And you find the will of God by living by the Word of God. That book He wrote, the one who should be first place, the book He wrote will tell you how to find this plan He has for your life. And guess what? You put that first priority with God first, in His will second. Guess what happens next? God says, okay, I'll throw the life in on the side then. And what's His righteousness? That's step two priority. It says, and seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That means doing what God thinks is right, not what the world thinks is right, not what society thinks is right, not what's politically correct or convenient, but what the Bible says is the right thing. You do that. God's will and what God says is right, those are your priorities. And by the way, those two simple priorities will cover every decision you'll make in life. They'll set your course in life. You'll have guidance. You'll have light for your feet and lamp for your path. You'll have a solid rock upon which you can stand. And you'll have everything God's direction in your life and purpose in the process. And guess what? I keep those simple priorities in order. I didn't say easy, bud. I said simple. You keep those simple priorities in order. And God says, I'll add all that other stuff in there. I'll just throw that in on the side. And guess what you get? You get the life people be telling you to go look for. Go get a life. I don't want to get a life. I want the life. I want to know when I pillow my head at night, I'm on this earth for a reason, and I'm found out what that is. And God's purpose for our life. See, there is no purpose in a self-serving purpose. There's no fulfillment in it. You just go from one thing to another thing to another thing. And you watch people. They'll spend their entire life trying to find purpose in life, instead of just doing what God told them to do. Keep Him first. Priorities in order. God says, oh, I'll add all these things. I'll just throw them in on the side. Phew. Now, here's the problem. It requires faith to trust Him enough to put the life together for you. Because we always think we can do better than God. Well, I should do that, but frankly, hey, it's going pretty good the way it is right now. I mean, you know, it's not excellent, and I don't have everything, but tell you what, I'm not too unhappy with the life. You're not unhappy with your life, but you still don't know the life God has for you yet. And when you do, you look at me. When you do, let's see, food analogy. Strawberries are coming in. What tastes better? Store-bought ice cream and frozen strawberries from the frozen food section? Or fresh strawberries right from the field? And Lord, let me keep it English. Homemade ice cream. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, my. You were slobbering on the S's. I'm slobbering on the ice cream this morning. Take those fresh strawberries and you slice them up with just a little bit of sugar. Don't even really put much, just a little bit to get the juice flowing. And then you make up some homemade ice cream. You use non-fat milk. Oh, come on, people. Seriously. No. You want that milk that's so fresh the farmer made the milk cow sleep on his back so the cream would come out first. I mean, you want that kind of stuff. You make homemade ice cream with that good Mexican vanilla, by the way. That's the best kind. Good fresh vanilla and eggs and sugar and milk. And you get it in that mixer upper, dude, and you let it go until it goes and it stops. And you pull the paddle out and set it in the ice for a while till it firms up real good. And then if you're really blessed, your wife makes some homemade shortcake. Whew. Can I get a witness on the homemade shortcake? Yes. You put your chunk in that bowl and you baptize that thing with that strawberry, and it nurdles down there and starts to soak up in that strawberry shortcake. And then the shortcake, and then you throw the ice cream on top of that, and maybe some whipped cream and some cherries and nuts and things on top of there. Sit down there. Or you can go to McDonald's and get a strawberry milkshake. You say, why would I want to do that? Question. Why would you want your life and miss the one God has for you? When I lived in this town in a drunkard's home, and I'd go to bed at night hearing them fighting in the front room, and I'd ask myself the question, is this way my life is always going to be? Is that it? Drunks beating on each other, and is that what my life is always going to be like? I had no idea the life God has and had for me. So the question this morning isn't, did you find a life? The question is, what is your life? Is it the life God has designed for you? Right person, God first. Right priorities. Do God's will. Do what God says is the right thing. He'll throw all the stuff in on the side. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.